This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a Football Friday. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Coming up in this hour, we'll get into the marquee games of the NFL for Week 17 in 15 minutes. Bottom of the hour, professional sports bettor Brad Powers on the show. We'll kick around bowl games and also the quarterfinals that we have in the playoffs. But right now we begin the hour by talking to one of the nine entries left in the greatest football contest in the world, Circa Survivor. John Accorsi is still alive, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Congratulations on getting by Christmas Day, John, and happy belated Christmas. How are you?
Yeah, thank you. I'm doing wonderful. Just ready for this contest to wrap up and get on with your life.
Pay that man.
Yeah. Hey. So can you take us through getting to Christmas Day and how you were planning? Again, for people who don't know, what makes this contest so beautiful is that you have to save for Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's its own separate week, unlike other Survivor contests. Take us through the teams that you had circled to save for Christmas and how it ultimately played out.
Well, I had three available. I had Minnesota, Washington, and Dallas. And the thought was just kind of saving Dallas and Washington and hoping one would emerge as a favorite. And it was actually looking a little sketchy at first. I think it was, around 3.5. And then with Dallas getting eliminated from the playoffs, that made me a little bit nervous. But then with the quarterback situation, the line just kept ticking up and up. So I felt a lot more comfortable after that.
Were you surprised that only one person was on Washington?
Yeah, you would think taking Washington would, you win and you eliminate what everybody else has taken. But yeah, they seem to shift over to the other team.
Well, what was it like for you yesterday to watch that game? First of all, it's on Christmas Day and, it's going to overtake your life. And Survivor is all we think about anyway. And when you're this deep into it, you've won contests before in the past, but there's nothing that can get you, ready for this and used to it. Like, oh, I'm going to go to bed tonight, sleep easy, and not think about it anymore. That just doesn't happen. So what was Christmas Eve like? What was Christmas Day like then with this?
Well, my wife and I had a house full of people and, some espresso martinis helped with, sleeping for a while. But once the morning hit, everybody left around game time and, we just kind of sat on the couch and, the game was a little stress-free in the beginning. It was 21-3, that made me feel pretty comfortable. It got a little sideways, a little bit towards the end, but, they pulled it out and, it's just each of these games are just, there's no lead that is, completely safe that makes you feel great. So you just have to sweat it out till it ends.
True. I mean, for example, and I'm sure you've had, multiple heart attack games on this entry or all of your entries that you had going into it, but you were on Houston last week against the Raiders. That must have been the 3-hour nightmare for you almost.
Yeah, that was terrible. And I actually didn't even watch the game. I was somewhere watching a little bit of it and then came home and, just checking, scores on the phone and updates on the betting apps. And that was maybe one of the toughest ones because, the later you get in this, the harder the loss is. So, thank God they pulled that out right at the end. And you know what? It's like you got to get lucky to be in these positions. I mean, nobody gets to the end of these contests without, getting lucky and having games that just go your way.
Well, over the last 2 weeks, then at least, have you been grabbing the other team with the points? Because the Raiders obviously covered, and then so did the Commanders yesterday.
Well, I've been quite lucky with that because I had four entries with 45 left, and I only had one advance when the pool got decimated down to 10. But I did do well with, with just hedging my position a little bit. And then, of course, on the Raider game, I bet a little bit on the Raiders at 14.5 and took some of the money line. But then once the game started getting close, I just, you know, kept betting the Raiders in game. And it, other than a few money line bets right at the end, it actually all worked out for me. So I'm thankful to advance and put a few bucks in your pocket.
Good for you. Do you have a game plan, an idea what you're doing Sunday?
Buccaneers.
Wow. Well, thanks for the breaking news.
That's you're 100% going to use Tampa?
I am.
Did you have another team or two under consideration?
The Bengals. I just think at this point, I'm hoping for just maybe one less entry on Tampa Bay, and that's probably the difference maker. And it's not, none of these are easy decisions at this point, I decided that is probably the right choice for me, so I'm going to go with it.
Who do you have in the chamber to pull out then and use for Week 18?
I could use the Bengals against the Browns. And, Week 18 is tricky. You don't know what opens up. But the Bengals against the Browns is definitely on the forefront. But we'll see what happens.
Have you been, and you don't have to obviously give me any of the details or even answer this if you prefer not to, but I have to ask about, getting involved with other entries that are remaining, maybe not necessarily a full chop with the nine left, but swapping any percentages here with other entries at this point?
I'm involved a little bit, and I really can't elaborate too much on it. But, I will say I'm probably the one guy that's out of the loop, just not being on social media. So, you know, a few other people have just filled me in, and I'm sure there's behind the scenes, things going on with, people making deals with each other. But, I just did something a little bit with somebody and hopefully that, acts as a little bit of a hedge for me, being so close, but, the plan really is to just hedge the last 2 weeks. So.
Okay. Very good. Are you going to be watching the game on Sunday between Tampa and Miami?
I am. So there's a casino right down the road for me. There's an MGM. So I'll probably end up placing a bet there and watching the game there. And if I am fortunate to survive, I think I'll probably come out to Las Vegas for the last week.
Good move.
And then my guess is what, you're going to be in touch with Jeffrey Benson, Will Case, and everybody and say, hey, that line of credit sounds pretty good right now.
You know, it's funny you say that. I sent him an email earlier, and he said he was going to give me a call sometime soon. So we will hopefully work that out.
It was great to meet in the summer. Good luck to you, and we'll see you hopefully in a week. Thanks, John.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Go get him this weekend, John. Thank you for the time. Never met him before.
He's the guy who did all the contests all over town.
That's right.
Did the Grandissimo. He did the Full House here, and he went to the Westgate.
I got, just from talking to him twice on this show live, man, I got a boatload of respect for that guy.
So you got the breaking news. He's going Tampa. Uh-huh. There'll be three teams used. Tampa, Cincinnati, and the Patriots. Seven have Tampa. Seven have the Bengals. Four have the Patriots. And he's in a tough spot week 18. So Bengals, likely Bengals against the Browns. But you don't have a lot to work with and choose from in week 18.
Well, week 18 is always a mess, like
tricky.
You said.
Yeah. But I can't believe, and he didn't want to get into it, but how maybe there was a deal in place, how three people changed their mind and went from Washington and shifted over to the Vikings.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because everyone went on the record and saying they were taking Washington, and then there was a pivot to Minnesota. There's also an individual who has two left, and he used both on Minnesota, which was a shocker. The only guy on Washington was a defending champ.
Who had to use him.
Yeah, right, from that we had in studio last year and made the deep run. You are living right. Because remember, you already had an underdog on Thanksgiving. But you need Max Brosmer for your life. As a 7.5-point dog, he throws for 50 yards and they win the game.
Win the game.
Plus six in the turnover battle. So still, I thought he's got to be a little disappointed. It's not down to five.
Well, I'm sure
but
that.
But it still sits at nine now. Incredible that the Vikings get through there and Detroit looks so lousy.
Well, I'll tell you this, and we should have asked him this. Once the Cowboys got through early, I'm sure the play there is to bet the Vikings, right? Anybody who got by with Dallas yesterday, well, add the Vikings plus the points and a little bit on the money line, hoping that you lose those bets.
Well, then the other thing was, is you were out Wednesday trying to kick it around what the hedge is going to be. And someone put over $1 million here on Dallas money line as a hedge.
Well, that had to be him. Not John, but the guy who had Washington.
He said it wasn't.
Really?
Maybe it was his partner. But yeah, the CP picks says it wasn't him. Mm. Or the thinking was, I'll do a Dallas-Detroit money line parlay
that someone
could use as well. But to be a 7.5-point dog with a third-string quarterback and get through, incredible. And the one guy, real bro, still has Jacksonville, the only guy. And he'll use them week 18 as a double-digit favorite at home to Tennessee.
So
what a spot to be in for him.
John, of course, he was on the program just now, just tuning in. He's one of 9 entries left in Circus Survivor. He told us during the break that he and his wife had like 35 people over on Christmas Eve. 35 people. I don't know about you, Paul, but the conversations, it's going to be in one ear or out the other. If I'm still alive?
You can't. I'd kick him out. Yeah, that's gutsy having people over.
He probably,
God bless him, but that's...
Maybe he wants that, so it's a distraction a little bit, so he can get his mind off Survivor. But at the same time, I'm going to be like, I can't think about anything else in my life.
Yeah, it's like all the president's men. Nothing on the line here.
Yeah.
You know, just $18.7 million.
That's all. No big whoop. I'll get back to this point many good times down the road. Sure, not a problem.
How about the Cowboys? 6 for 6 on fourth down. Worked out every time. Midfield, let's go for it. 4th and 1, let's go for it. And then all the drive played out beautifully. And the hedge gets there as well. Just sneak it on 4th down, run the clock out. That was nuts.
Yeah, more NFL coming up next. Both coaches have been rock solid to the under in this situation. I'll tell you, the coaches and that spot next here on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Brad Powers on the program coming up in 15 minutes. Professional sports bettor. We'll do all college football with him at that time. Bowl games and also the quarterfinals that we have coming up next week. Paulie, tomorrow's game, Texans at the Chargers. These are two of the better teams to the under on the year. Texans 10-5. Chargers are about 9-6 to the under. And D'Amico Ryan's 19-6 under the total when he takes on a team with a winning record. And Harbaugh, 11-2 under against defenses allowing 19 points per game or fewer. Total here is 39.5. And look at this now. Chargers back down to a 1-point favorite here at Circa.
I like the Chargers. Again, I read those comments earlier about the revenge angle. It was the worst game of Herbert's career last year in the playoffs. Great kicking matchup as well. But a little concerned about how Stroud has played. Opt-AI likes him over, which is a surprise.
Yeah, but like 35 yards.
Yeah, number one against number three in total defense. But I think the Chargers will make enough plays offensively and probably come down to kicking. Again, Fairbairn 25-3 overrun, and Dicker, most accurate kicker in NFL history. So all the different ways you want to play it. Look for the prop on Caesars, too, a field goal in every quarter. They'll have that up with the game specials as well. But I think the Chargers win, and it goes under the total.
Don't think I'm going to be involved with the night game tomorrow. 8 o'clock Eastern, Ravens at the Packers from Lambeau.
How would you play it? You're already in the playoffs, LaFleur.
I know. So the 3.5-point favorites here.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times are we going to say this? Ravens absolutely have to have the game. What has that meant so far this year? A bucket of Jack squat.
No, I don't like it. There's too much noise here. There's too much drama.
Oh, my God.
The Lamar Jackson stuff. Is Harbaugh gone? You know, it's funny. You were out Wednesday, and Mark Malusis asked me. He was looking for a number. Some of the controversial stuff with Jackson hadn't come out yet about the relationship and video games and the other stuff. He was looking for Harbaugh to the Giants.
Oh, that's going to happen.
For a price. Yeah.
I like that. I like that bet.
Yeah. 46.5 down to 38.5. Huntley against Willis. Green Bay gets the gift last night. They're already in. And certainly, if you think Green Bay is going to win. You can take more of Cleveland if you want, but that's lying down to three because Tomlin said he's going to sit people.
Sure. Okay, so what's the game plan for the Packers beyond this for Week 18?
Yeah, like,
right.
Good point. I would think they would try for much of the game and play people tomorrow, and then take it easy against Minnesota and rest,
and then basically punt on that game.
Yes,
treat that as the true bye week. I think that's probably appropriate because you don't want to take both weeks off. Then you're talking about a long time here in between games, and that throughout history has really not been a great thing there.
Or do you play Love for a half because you don't want him to sit for 3 weeks with the concussion?
I don't know if I'd be rushing him back for the concussion.
It'd be longer than that. Well, he missed the second half of the Bears game. He's not playing here. That's a long time to sit out.
Plus, I mean, look, you have to get used to this stuff if you're an NFL coach and realize that injuries are a part of the game. Me personally, not being an NFL coach, I'd be gun-shy to play anybody with how many injuries they've had this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for any team that's been severely banged up. Eagles and the Bills.
Boy, this one's tough.
Another one.
Sal said it's going to be horrible weather, supposed to snow, and he also questioned how long will Hurts play. Here's another one with motivation with Philadelphia. And Opti loves Hurts over.
Way over his passing yards prop.
Well, should be. If you want to run all day on Buffalo, go ahead. Mm-hmm. And give a big dose with Barkley, as the Bills' run defense is god-awful. They also are now 3-12 ATS in the first half this year.
Good angle. They're down to one here at Circa. They're one at other books as well. I wish both teams, like, this was a big game for both teams. I really do.
Yeah, plus also they take the field knowing that the Patriots won't be locked up officially, but the Patriots have a stranglehold on the division. The Patriots should crush the Jets.
That's very true.
And this is one of two late games, so that's also your question motivation for Buffalo.
I would actually be getting, I think, Barkley, again, if the Eagles like had to have this game, I would be all over Barkley stuff. Because in a true 60-minute NFL game where, right, the Eagles, like, let's say they had to have it, you're telling me the Bills' defense would be able to slow him down to the ground? I don't think so. Doubt that would happen. And maybe this is a spot, then you look at some of the backups. You know, anytime touchdown, maybe rushing attempts over not on a running back not named Saquon Barkley. And some of those big tickets could be cashing this week.
Tank was plus 850.
Yeah.
Bigsby, Shipley, not a bad call. I think the Patriots put it on the Jets. And the Jets can't get out of their own way. Did you see this kicking thing with the gal? Unbelievable. Dad had season tickets, lifelong Jets fan. She won a contest where she made a field goal, and she'd come out at halftime for $100,000. Oh, you played college soccer. You're a high school soccer coach, whatever. We're not going to allow it. Thank God, public outcry. And now she's in there. She's kicking at halftime for a chance for $100,000. I mean, forget about being fan-friendly with the Jets. But the Patriots have owned the Jets, 17-2 run going back. They're 7-0 on the road, 6-1 ATS. They've been phenomenal in the first half, cashing tickets all year long, what they've done in the first half. 14-1-1 first half money line, 11-0-1 going in 12-2, 12-3 ATS rather this year as well. Henderson could play. There are some other guys who are out. Booty's out, but Henderson's questionable. You're going with Cook again, and the numbers have been horrendous for the Jets. I think the Patriots put it on them. First half, game, everything.
Well,
and they open up a can on the Jets.
I'll tell you this. If Henderson doesn't go in the game,
gotta have
now, numbers will change here, right? But if he doesn't play in the game, Ramondre Stevenson should go ballistic here.
Whoever it is,
Well, because then you know it's not going to be a timeshare.
Yeah.
And then in theory, Stevenson's going to be the guy against this awful Jets defense. I don't like getting involved in these big point spread games ever in the NFL. Perfect example, again, rewind 1 week. How did the Texans not absolutely take the doors off the Raiders? And yet they could have actually, they probably should have lost the game. Like it's weird stuff, man, when you're laying these big numbers. I also, by the way, will pinpoint some players that you want to look at. I get it. People have ruined this over the years on social media with the incentives. Uh-huh. I can't believe they share it, but since it's so common knowledge now, I'll point out some of the incentives in this game particular that you might want to just take a peek at. Not going to tell you to go out there and rush to bet them because, again, people have been doing this now for 2 weeks. And I love the pro bettors on Twitter who are like, you idiot, stop doing this. Keep it to yourself. Bet this stuff. Don't give the information away. So the numbers have been juiced, obviously, to the gills at this point, but it is a talking point regardless. The Seahawks are...
I was going to say the numbers with the offense, though, are just... Cook's been sacked 17 times. He has one touchdown and six interceptions. I can't imagine they do anything on offense. Plus, you have weather. It just should be all about the New England rushing attack as well. And it's not going to happen because they have to face May and then Allen. The Jets aren't going to have an interception this year. Incredible numbers. Impossible, right?
What's the angle for Allen not to play next week? They lose to the Eagles?
Then it's over. Patriots win, Bills lose, the division's over.
Right, and then Allen doesn't play in that game, and then they...
I don't know if a backup will throw one.
No, I know, I know. I mean, if Tyler Shuck's going to throw 49 passes last week and not throw an INT, and you got two games left, pretty good odds that it's probably not going to be happening. You see this now, the Seahawks down to 7?
Well, this is Carolina's spot.
Yep.
It's so good here in this role. But Darnold's been good in this role. Carolina, 10-1 ATS, last 11 as a home dog. Every win this season is an underdog. But Darnold, when laying more than 6 points, 12-0 straight up. Yeah, they probably win by six, probably, how it goes. See if they get JS going. Big game for JSN. But this is, I think it's coming down to week 18 with Tampa and Carolina. So much on the line for Seattle and the extra time off.
Let me just say this quickly. You know, nobody's giving Carolina a chance. And I'm in that boat, right, to come out of the NFC. Do you realize that if they win this game, the Panthers will have outright wins over Green Bay when they were healthy, the Rams, and Seattle. How would you like to have those pelts on the wall going into the NFC playoffs?
Well, also, it depends what it looks like, though, too. I mean, certainly you would love the Rams if that's the first-round matchup.
Oh, for sure.
It's how they won the games. The other teams were just horrific and horrendous.
The Panthers have a way to muck it up against their opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Also, McMillan minus 360 in that neighborhood to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Did you see the Pelissero thing do anything for you? Well, McMillan, I mean, in a blowout.
Yeah, he lapped the field.
And those are 21 GMs and 30 teams.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of surprises in there with his pull.
And people in the media, not really the gambling space, but the media quickly shooting down Tyler Shuck's chances.
Ooh, didn't play enough?
They just kind of mocked the idea that he actually has a chance to win the award.
This is big for Henderson. Can he get out there? Because he's going to have a big game if he plays. And certainly it's not going to take a lot to move the needle if it's between him and McMillan, if you're going to dismiss Shuck. And maybe even Ibuka can do something strong the last couple of weeks. Everyone will be watching. They're big games. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus save 50% site-wide when you shop omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Legendary steaks, crowd-pleasing appetizers. Omaha Steaks make game day easy and delicious. Don't wait now. Get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site-wide. omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase may apply. See the site for details.
Professional sports bettor Brad Powers on the program coming up next. Always love his analysis. We'll discuss bowl games and quarterfinal matchups next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Hardcore college football here. We're live in Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, but now we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Professional sports bettor Brad Powers joins the program. You can follow him on X at BradPower7. Website is BradPowerSports.com. Happy belated, merry belated Christmas. Brad, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Yeah, right back at you guys. Happy holidays. Good to see you guys working on the day after Christmas.
Let's begin with this. Your reaction to the hiring of Kyle Whittingham, 5-year deal. It's official now over at Michigan.
Yeah, everyone seems to be like really positive about it. I guess I'll be contrarian. I'm not. I think Michigan probably could have done better. I would have went younger. It's a young man's game, 66. Never coached, east of the Rockies for, almost his entire career. Done it. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer and done a wonderful job at Utah. They won 10 games this year, but from a recruiting aspect, from an NIL portal, transfer portal, I don't know if Kyle Whittingham's way up there for, this is the guy I want leading my program for the next 5 years. And, everyone signs a 5-year deal or something. But, I mean, that's the ultimate, how great can this be? I would say maximum is 5 years. And that's best case scenario. And to me, when I'm making a coaching hire in today's day and age, I want best case scenario to be 10 plus years and not worried about, you know, good chance, you know, 50-50 chance I'm making another coaching hire in 2.5-3 years. And I think that'll be the case. If you look at Michigan's schedule next year, it's a lot tougher than this year's. And and Kyle Whittingham to me doesn't scream the ability to retain most of the roster from a recruiting aspect. So I think I'd put Michigan's win total next year at 7.5-8. I'm not buying it.
Okay. So if you wanted to go younger, how about Dillingham or what happened? We were told it was going to be Jed Fish.
Yeah, both those guys were you know, basically shoo-ins. I mean, I was definitely told Dillingham so much that I made a big bet anti-Arizona State in the bowl game because I thought if he'd leave, it would be a mass exodus there. So I was told that was a done deal. What was that, almost 2 weeks ago? Never came to fruition. That would have been a much better hire as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, that's – I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's, you know, they had to make a hire like this because the athletic director is going to be out the door and should be here soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know everything going on behind the scenes. But, again, where everyone's praising it, I just – to me, I don't see it. So because I'm all about recruiting and the ability to create a roster year in and year out, and I just don't know if that's – Whittingham's strong suit at this point.
In general, have you been betting unders in bowl games? I bring it up because right now, New Mexico, the best thing about this game watching it right now, New Mexico's jerseys by a mile. They lead 3-0 under 9 minutes to play in the second quarter. In-game totals down to 33.5, Brad.
Not as much as I should be. You know, a few here and there. It's been hit or miss this bowl season for my bowl betting. So it's basically 50-50. I can tell you this. If you had a crystal ball, and we'll just use the consensus open. I know there's a lot of numbers out there. Let's just use the consensus open. Say you had a crystal ball and you could predict every line move with 3 points or more, side or total. Congratulations, you're 4-9 so far.
Oh,
Tuesday
man.
Night.
Getting
was
the absolute best number. Yep. So, again, I don't know that, you know, even guys like myself or anybody out there really knows. It's just all, you know, shrug your shoulders. I don't know. I can get in front of a market like a la Louisville the other day. -6.5 closes 12, but that doesn't guarantee crap as far as cashing a ticket.
That was brutal. Yeah, up 21-3. Yep, condolences on that one. How about the game tonight? FIU, UTSA, 57.5 up to 62, and UTSA laying 7 now.
Yeah, I was, you know, again, it's moved quite a bit, but, you know, favorite. Today is where I finally bet the favorite. I laid the 5. This was, you know, over makes sense because if you look at the transfer portal and the opt-outs, it's almost exclusively on the defense side of the ball for both teams. I mean, FIU's entire secondary is out. UTSA's missing 6-7 starters on defense. So I understand the movement towards the over. Again, I'm not running to the window with how bowl games have fared so far and going over a number total with a 6 beside it. So let's pass on that and lean on the side. Looks like UTSA is fully functional on offense, and I just think that there's, I know it's 2 G5 teams, but the American is so much stronger than Conference USA.
Okay, how about some of the games that we have tomorrow? 8, by the way, on the schedule.
Overboard.
Right, no kidding. So I bet under Clemson, Penn State, 48.5. That's down to 47.5 now at some spots. And also Clemson's down below the key number of 3. This is only down to 2.5 here. Just a ton of opt-outs. That was my angle with it. And I was kind of hoping that nothing would happen in this game. Anything here to make at this point?
Yeah, it'd be my best bet for tomorrow. I gave that. We did a show. I did a show a couple hours ago, and that was the best bet we gave out for tomorrow. You know, under. It's only moved a half point. We're looking at like 10 starters out for both teams. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this is a true exhibition. And what happens when you get exhibition? Well, you think NFL preseason. You think, you know, these new football leagues like the American Football League or the USFL. And what do you always get with that first game, that first week of action? You get extremely low totals. So when you basically have a bunch of scrubs and backups, it's not like you have high totals. So I'm with you. Also, obviously outside in the Bronx, Yankee Stadium, going to be super cold. Could be some weather. I don't think it's going to be a total, you know, they're expecting some snow, but I don't know if it'll be during the game. Yeah, under 48 for me.
Okay, I was watching your show, and you were all over the Service Academy's run, 18-3 ATS run, going back. You grabbed 3.5 in pocket with Army. It got up to 10, and now it's 7.5-8 in the Fenway Bowl. What do you think now, Army and UConn?
Yeah, Connecticut's going to have a few more guys than what I expected. I mean, it looked like it was going to be a real dumpster fire for them, maybe 10, 12 starters out. But Skylar Bell looks like their wide receiver's playing, maybe a few others. But still, with that being said, You know, it's come down to 7.5. I would still lean with Army here. Again, I'm not fading the service academies. And again, that 18-3 number is against the close. That's not against an opener. That's against the close, how they fared. I don't have to worry about opt-outs, transfer portal. I know what I'm getting. Connecticut with, you know, an interim coach and a bunch of guys in the transfer portal, I just don't see it. So Army for me.
How about Pitt from 6 up to 11 against East Carolina and a 7-point move on the under?
Yeah, I mean, originally I was liking East Carolina. When these lines came out on that opening Sunday, you know, almost 3 weeks ago, I bet 10.5, thinking I had a great, you know, was going to get a great bet. I think it got as low as 4 in some spots. But East Carolina's quarterback's out. Their OC's gone. Their DC's gone. I think Pitt, you know, obviously the last move we've seen from a 6, like you mentioned, up to 10.5 is the right move. I'm not laying 10.5 now, though. So I would say at current, with all the factors, I think appropriately priced in, it's just a pass.
Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, professional sports bettor Brad Powers, he's on the Progressive guest line. What's the angle? What's the play to make tomorrow night when LSU takes on Houston? Cougars laying about 1.5 in this spot.
Yeah, I'm still going to lean with Houston, but I am a little bit surprised. A lot of these LSU guys are going to play. I didn't expect that to be the case with the interim coach. So I'm a little surprised by that, but I still, you got Willie Fritz, who I think the world of. I think he's one of the best coaches, period, in college football against an interim. And obviously you're playing close to home. I just think, generally speaking, Houston will be excited to be there. LSU could care less. So I know there's a huge disparity in the strength of schedule, the strength here, but give me Houston -1.
Yeah, it's actually pick 'em now at Circa.
A lot of money. I mean, that was as high as 3. So, I mean, you got to respect the market. But again, like I said, if you got that crystal ball, it hasn't worked out so well.
How about Georgia Tech and BYU? Actually, a good game on paper.
Yeah, really good game. Looks like Martin's out for BYU, but they're running back. But other than that, looks like they got pretty much everybody in. So I'm going to take Georgia Tech's losing their OC and a couple other guys. I'll take BYU -3.5. Although we got to watch. Looks like they could be losing some coaches to Michigan. Looks like Whittingham is going to try to go for the BYU defensive staff.
Oh, okay. Overall, what is your prediction? Break out the crystal ball on this. What will bowl season look like in 3 to 5 years?
I love bowls. I love college football. But I would like to see them go by the wayside. And here's the fix to that. Expand the playoffs a little bit and then have the G5 have their own playoffs. So you still got close to the same number of teams, but we got everybody max motivation playing for something. So that would be my fix. Is it going to happen? I know we're going to go from 12 to 16 on the regular end. There's probably too many fat cat suits that want to get paid with their, you know, their cocktail shrimp and all that stuff, the bowl sponsors, for them to completely go away. But I mean, they are really becoming meaningless with each passing year. What we're going to have is more teams like Notre Dame out, just totally opting out.
No doubt. Would you rather have the idea of going to 16 teams in the playoff or go back to what it was a couple of years ago? 4 teams and bowl games still being meaningful?
Yeah, it's a good question. Give me the playoff right now. I mean, this year would probably have been better with 4, but the way we're trending, I think we're not going back. We're only going expanding more and more.
We'll get to the 4 playoff games coming up on the other side. ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on the national championship and Super Bowl odds. A huge holiday slate coming up in the games next week. Perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Promo code VSiN to get started. Download ProfitX today. Code VSiN. Get started now. 20% match up to 100 in bonus cash.
We'll continue with Brad Powers up next. Follow him on X at BradPower7. We'll ask him which dog or dogs will have the most bite in the quarterfinals, and does he like any of them to win outright next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back as we continue talking college football. Professional sports bettor Brad Powers on the Progressive guest line. Website is bradpowersports.com, on X at bradpowers7. All right, to the quarterfinals now. Miami taking on Ohio State. That's going to be on New Year's Eve. And the Buckeyes, the defending champs, lay 9.5. Still as high as 42.5 with that total. What is your breakdown here of this game, Brad?
I was expecting to be on Ohio State. I mean, you got to be really impressed with what Miami did against A&M, owning the line of scrimmage, particularly their defensive front, getting after A&M's offensive line. With that being said, do I want to lay near double digits with such a low total? No. But I guess what I'm most confident in is a matchup on the other side, that being Ohio State's defense against Miami's offense. So I'm going to go Miami team total. You might have to go far away places. 19.5, heavy juice to the under. That's fine. If you got to go locally, you're going to get something maybe 16.5-ish. But that's still fine. I don't see Miami scoring more than 14 here. So Miami team total under is where I prefer. I think Ohio State will be fine here. I mean, a lot of people are overreacting to, all four teams last year had a bye lost outright. Well, they were an underdog in every game. Of course they lost outright. Arizona State was an underdog against Texas. I think Notre Dame closed a favorite over Georgia. You had Boise State, a 10-point underdog. They had the bye. They lost. I mean, come on. I hate that narrative that's out there.
You said something about Ryan Day, by the way, during the break. The biggest question is, for you about him would be what?
Boy, what tempo is he going to run? I mean, is he going to run the same tempo that he ran against Michigan last year, a la loss? It was the same kind of game plan against Indiana in the Big Ten championship game. They had two drives in the second half, take up an entire 15 minutes of time of possession, 0 points because they couldn't get it done in the red zone. They're the superior team. I mean, this is, going back the last 15 years, you play with tempo when you have the superior team. You want more plays, more opportunities to flex your superiority over your opponent. So I'd like to see them pick up the pace a little bit. And I think they got an opportunity to attack Miami's back end with obviously the great wide receiver core that they have.
Well, watching one of your videos, I agree with you. That was a bad performance by Oregon. They gave up 500 yards against James Madison. So now Oregon favored against Texas Tech. And with the bugaboo and issues with Tech is all the field goals in the red zone. What do you think from Hard Rock Stadium?
Yeah, and another issue I have with Tech is arguably the easiest Power 4 schedule of any team. And forget just who's left in the playoffs. Any Power 4 team this year, I think it's ranked in Jeff Sagarin's strength of schedule rankings like 67th in the country. So they haven't played anyone near the level of Oregon. So could there be a little bit of a shock there? I think there will be. But again, look, this time of year, I'm not going to find too much value side or total for the most part, nor should I with these games. So again, I'm most confident in what I saw from Oregon's offense, and especially with the healthier wide receiver core. So again, let's go team total Oregon over 26.5.
Ooh, all right. Interesting.
Do you think that you would like Texas Tech against any other team remaining in the playoffs, or there would be a pure fade?
It's a good question. Obviously I'd like them against like an Alabama, I guess, because I'm just not buying the Crimson Tide. Okay. Ole Miss, maybe. But again, I just have so many question marks because they haven't played anybody in the top 15, 20 in my power ring. So again, there are still levels to college football, and it's going to be a little bit of a culture shock, in my opinion.
Rose Bowl, last time Bama was catching 7 or more, 2008 SEC title game. They were 10-point dogs and lost by 11. What do you think of the Rose Bowl here?
I think it's a pretty fair number. I did lay a little 6.5 on Indiana. A bet, not a best bet, just because my power ratings do have a little bit of disparity here. I just think that the market can't get – anybody would be betting Alabama plus 7.5. If you look at a lot of the public power ratings, they got this one closer to 10 in this one. Big strength of schedule disparity, but I got to respect what I saw from Indiana when they had to step up this year in the two games. We're talking on the road against Oregon and Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. They more than held their own, won those games outright. So it's a little different lane of touchdown here, but Alabama's so one-dimensional offensively. And look, they won and covered against Oklahoma, but yet it was another game this year where Alabama, the scoreboard, did not match the box score. So I think, generally speaking, they're overrated. Lean Hoosiers here.
Okay. Indiana good enough to win the whole thing?
No, I got Oregon beating them in the rematch. And obviously, my favorite's going to be the winner of Georgia and Ohio State.
Yeah. And then, so does that mean that you also like the Bulldogs here in a rematch against Ole Miss with laying the points?
Yeah, if you need just a traditional bet, side or total to make, best bet for me would be Georgia minus 6.5. I know Ole Miss played them really tough in the first go around in Athens. where they led through three quarters, but they played almost perfect football there for 45 minutes and still, you know, ended up losing by eight. And, you know, obviously there was some adjustments back and forth. Kirby, made some adjustments finally in that fourth quarter and shut down Ole Miss. I just think this is the game where, you know, Ole Miss is going to miss Lane calling plays against, you know, the brainchild of Kirby Smart's defense. So I didn't think, Ole Miss easily won it covered. I bet him in the first round game, but Tulane moved the football too, put up 400 yards on him. I think if we get the Georgia a la against Texas, you know, one of the final regular season games that we saw, a big game, and obviously we get the Georgia that we saw in the SEC championship games, particularly on defense, they're as good as anybody in the country, and I'm willing to lay the 6.5.
What if it's the Georgia offense that showed up against Georgia Tech?
Yeah, good question. That's why it's only 6.5 here. Right. So fair enough. And okay. I bet him that game, and it was pathetic.
What's Georgia, Ohio State?
Line, I would say Buckeyes 2.5, 3.
Ooh.
And then what would you make Oregon against Indiana?
Indiana will be a slight, obviously some of it's going to be dependent on these games and the outcomes there, but I would say Indiana slight favorite by maybe two.
You mentioned your love with the service academies and how strong they've been, ATS. Are you on Navy against Cincinnati January 2nd?
I am on Navy.
Okay.
Obviously, numbers, you know, they flip from dog to 7-point favorite, so it's a massive move. But again, a bunch of guys out for Cincinnati. I think some people say, oh, it's just, you know, it's a bunch of guys in their secondary. Well, keep in mind, Navy throws the football a lot more than they used to. I mean, they have their all-time leading receiver, Heidenreich. I don't question the motivation, who's opting out. I think Horvath and Heidenreich and Teska, all of the guys that are playing their final game, it'd be very meaningful. I don't like Satterfield as a coach, period. So Navy for me, I think they blow him out.
Okay. Did you bet Tennessee, Illinois? Right now the Vols about 2.5, total 61.5.
I did, but numbers matter. I mean, you kind of, you know what kind of number I got on Illinois above a touchdown. But again, numbers matter. I'd be more than willing to lay the 2.5 now if I had to make a bet. And that was the first number. It's always for me, hey, do you hedge some of these? The question I always ask myself, well, would I make that bet originally if that was the first number I saw? Tennessee minus 2.5, I think, is worthy of a bet, even though the market's moved big time against them. They'll have the crowd edge. You know, they have some opt-outs, obviously, but not as much as you think. So Tennessee for me.
Great question that you have to ask yourself for sure. How about Iowa against Vandy? And the current number right now, Vandy about 4.5, total 47.5.
I lean Iowa. I think Iowa's a sneaky team. I got them in the top 20 of my power ranks. Keep in mind, they were very close to beating Oregon and Indiana. Yep. You know, should have probably won at least one of those games. So they're going to be buttoned up. They got a lot of NFL talent, but it looks like everybody, all hands on deck, for Vanderbilt. Should be one of the better bowl games, but I know Iowa doesn't have that, you know, ceiling like a Vanderbilt does, but man, their floor to me is higher, right? And that's more important to me in bowl season. So Iowa plus the points.
What do you do with Texas, Michigan at this point with everything that's gone on with that Michigan program now in the offseason here?
I did finally bet the game. It was about 2 days ago. I finally laid some points. Not one of my favorite bets, but I did lay some 6.5. It was extra juice. Texas is going to be down like 10 starters and like six or seven on defense alone. But Michigan, I expect to be. I don't expect much out of the Wolverines. In fact, we're going to hear a lot more guys being out here in the coming days.
Great to talk to you. Appreciate your time. Happy New Year. And good luck to you. We'll catch up soon. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Job. Phenomenal. Brad Powers. That was excellent. FanDuel has two Week 18 games up. The Niners are 1.5 at home to Seattle, and Tampa Bay's 3.5 at home to Carolina.
And they were just 3 on the road at Carolina? Now 3.5?
Yeah. Good job putting that up.
Yeah, go ahead. Might as well, San Francisco and Seattle, right?
Yeah. We're live all New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We're on live for the second year in a row during the Rose Bowl, in play, halftime numbers.
Sunset.
You got it. They moved it up. Moved the start time up. Finally, we did it. Sugar Bowl doesn't get over at midnight on the East Coast anymore. Full regular programming both days. VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Numbers game, prop points, money moves. Kick off the new year. We'll be right here with the college football playoff. Spend your new year with VSiN, the nonstop home for sports bettors.
we can shovel dirt on their championship casket. Real or Fugazi next.